Good morning, everybody. I sometimes we pray to God and it seems like he's not listening. And we put up requests and it's like he just doesn't hear. And then there are other times when he answers prayer just like that. And I just saw a transaction happen with Brooke. And I do believe that those two people were paid for. Am I correct? Yes, so there you go. The 66 cents has been taken care of. Adrian, stand up and thank God. And is Mackenzie in the house? I don't see Mackenzie, but I'll make sure that she thanks God too. So I was talking with Aaron a little bit before the service today, and I said, so Aaron, did you get a little testy? And he looks at me and he goes, did Belinda tell you that? And I said, no, because I know that when I was doing it, I got testy every single time. And if you didn't, you're a much better man than I am. So, all right, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to start in Micah. Micah is known as one of the lesser prophets, the minor prophets, not because of quality, but because of the length of the letters. You have the major prophets and then the minor prophets. And a lot of things have been going on around here. And God has been speaking to me for probably a month and a half now. I've been in prayer about, God, what do you want to do? Do you want to continue what we're doing? Do you want to change some things up? And God basically relayed to me that he works in sevens. The number seven is very important in the Bible. He created all of creation in 6 days. On the seventh, he rested. He told his people that you shall have a Sabbath on the seventh day. I did it. I want you to do it. And as far as working the land needs a Sabbath, a rest. So they would work the land for 6 years, and then on the seventh, they would not plant, they would not till the soil, they would not do anything. And God said, I will provide for you even in your rest. So it was a time of work, 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 work. And then it was a time of rest. And God says, you need that. The land needs that. And so I was in prayer, and I got a note from Brenda saying, happy anniversary on June 1st. And I thought, that's not my anniversary. It's in August. What is she talking about? And then I realized it was the anniversary of when I became lead pastor at New Hope. And it has been 7 years. We just finished our seventh year. And so we are now at the beginning of our eighth year. And when God said, give the land a rest on the seventh year, that meant that the eighth year was a time of double duty, hard work. Because the soil had not been tilled the year before. So you had a year of soil compaction happening. So you had to work extra hard just to till the soil, to sow the seed. You had it was a time to put your nose to the grindstone and begin to work if you wanted to have a harvest. And I believe that God was saying to me, this is your eighth year. This is a year that you need to refocus as a pastor. You need to make sure that you are preparing for the harvest, that you're working towards that. And so I just felt God saying, you know what? It's time to reset. It's time to reboot. It's time to focus, bring our focus back to this is what needs to be done. And I began to look in my life as far as being a pastor. I've been called to be a pastor. And I began to think, okay, Lord, what does that look like? What does that entail? And so the lessons that we're going to look at today are from Micah. If you have your Bibles with you, please open them to Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. If you don't have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to start bringing them and start opening them and start reading them. That is where it is going to start. You need to begin in the Word of God, because that is where God reveals himself the most, is through his written word. So Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It says, listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? So now there's a lot in there. And God has a problem with his people. He brings up an accusation against them. He says, here's the covenant that I made. Here's me keeping my part of the deal. Why haven't you kept up your part of the deal? And so we're going to look in verse 1. It says, listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. Listen. He's saying, I want you as my mouthpiece, as my prophet, to stand up, and I want you to declare this from the mountaintops. I want to make sure that everybody hears what I have to say through you. Because God had been speaking to his people. He had been giving them commands. He had given them the scriptures, the Torah, the law. And he says, I want to make sure that everybody hears this. So that there's no wondering, well, what is he talking about? I never heard that. He's saying, stand up, speak to the mountains. Speak to the foundations of the earth. And make sure everyone hears this. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 2 gives us a little bit more of an insight into what God is actually doing here. It says, son of man, and he's speaking to Ezekiel, another one of his prophets, you are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but they do not see, and they have ears to hear, but they do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. These people had heard what God had to say. They knew exactly what he had to say. He says, I have given them eyes to see and to acknowledge what I have done for them. I have given them ears. It says that no one can come to the Lord unless he first draws them. He says, I've given them ears. I have given them the ability to understand what I am saying. And he says, you're just a bunch of snot-nosed kids. Bunch of rebellious kids. A rebellious, stiff-necked group of people. And so he turns to Micah and he says, Micah, declare this to the heavens and the foundation of the earth, because my people won't listen to it. Make sure that they hear, but go ahead and shout it from the rooftops. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? This is Jesus speaking. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. When they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So God is talking about two different people here. He's talking about one person who hears what he has to say and he builds his house accordingly with the foundation of what God had given him. Then you have the other person who hears what God has to say, doesn't feel that the foundation is an important part of the house, skips that whole process, and then builds anyways. Well, did you notice that both of these men have houses? You could put them side by side, and they both have houses, do they not? You could drive by and look at two houses, and from the outside, say, those are two nice houses. And as long as the weather is fine and the sun is shining like it is today, both of those houses will be absolutely fine. But I don't know if you've ever watched Storm Chasers. You ever watch that show? Those crazy nuts that drive down roads where they see the tornado. Oh, we've got rotation. Oh, we've got debris. We got hail. And then they drive through a town where the tornado just went through. And for some reason, people keep living in trailers in Tornado Alley. How could you possibly make a living selling trailers in Tornado Alley? Yet people continue to buy them. Oh, it only happens. It's not going to happen. So we have one guy that builds the foundation, puts in the foundation. And you know, I'm building a shop right now, or a garage, and the first thing you do is clear out the land, move the stuff, and then you bring in the guy and they build the foundation. And I was thinking, you know, it would have saved me a lot of time and a lot of money if I just didn't put a foundation in. It cost me $12,000 just to get to the foundation part and a few weeks. And I thought, I should just skip that part. What's going to happen? I'll just build it right on top of the thing. And I know we don't have tornadoes around here, but there are codes according to Spokane Valley, the county. They make sure that if you're going to build something that's substantial, like a house, that it has a foundation. Because they know there's a lot of people that if they could, they'd just skip it. It'll be fine. And there's a lot of people who build their spiritual lives without a foundation. And what happens to those people when things start getting difficult? And I guarantee you, things are going to start getting difficult. People that you know, people that you love are going to offend you. Is there anybody here that worked in this last week that didn't get offended at one time or another? See? Somebody raise their hand? Liars. It says in the word that it's impossible that offenses will not come. Impossible. Somebody is going to irritate you. Someone is going to rub you the wrong way. You're going to have bad days. And how you react will depend on how well you have built your foundation. Your spiritual walk, your faith. Your faith will be exposed when things begin to get difficult. Because everybody looks like they're super Christians when everything is hunky-dory. When everything's going well, oh, I just love New Hope. Just love my whole church family. And then someone says something or looks cross-eyed at you. I hate those people. And they go off. They run somewhere else. they take their garbage with them, and then they go into the new church, and they dump their garbage right there. Oh, I love my new church, until someone ticks them off. And then they pack up their stuff, and they go somewhere else. I pray, every time that I pray that when someone leaves here, I pray for the pastor who is going to be shepherding over them. I do. Because they're packing up their baggage. And they're bringing it to your church. And some people have more baggage than others. And I pray for that pastor. I pray and I ask everyone that comes to me and says, I feel like we're supposed to go somewhere else. And I says, are you leaving because of an offense? Because if you are, you need to voice it. And you need to forgive it so that you do not take it and dump it through the next doors. Because then that pastor has to deal with that. And that ain't right. But unfortunately, that's church in America for the most part. Well, I don't like the color of the chairs. Who in their right mind would put black chairs in a sanctuary? It's going to show everything. You know what's not going to show? Coffee spills. Just saying. You know, you can vacuum cat hair. And I know where the cat lovers sit. Just so you know. Just so you know. So they both built houses. When the difficult times came, one of them is able to stand and persevere, and the other ones do not. I've had so many people in my life through being a youth pastor for 7 years and a pastor now for 7 years. I've seen them come and I've seen them go. I've seen people who appear to be absolutely on fire for Jesus Christ. And now they declare that they don't even believe in God. What happened? What happened? Well, one of the things that does happen is some people build their faith without a foundation. They build their faith on a pastor. They build their faith on a group of people, but they don't have a genuine, honest-to-goodness relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you do not have that, you will fall. And you will fall hard. Does that mean that things aren't going to be difficult when you are grounded with a good foundation? No. But at least you know what? When you go through those things, you at least know that Jesus Christ is right there with you. That His word is His word through the thick and the thin. And I guarantee you, people are going to let you down. If your faith is simply based on someone else's faith, that is not faith. You need to start with you and Him. And there's a lot of pretenders out there. In fact, there were pretenders back in the New Testament. And it's not different today. So, who are you today? And I had to ask that to myself. God is He's turned the mirror right back in Jim's face. And He says, are you able to go through the difficult times? How have you built your foundation? Is it on someone else? Is it on Pastor Eric's faith? Is it on Pastor Lee's faith? Is it on Pastor Henry's faith? Or when you stand alone, are you going to be able to stand and persevere because of me? And I had to answer that question. And I had to step back and go, you know what? I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. But is this connected? Because if this isn't connected, none of this means nothing. It's worthless. So, point number one, where are you? Where are you in the foundations of your own faith? Because everybody's house looks pretty right here. Everybody's house looks pretty. Everybody's house looks nice. And then when the storms come, that's when you see the destruction. They're the trailers that you see in the distance. When the tornado hits it, you can tell the houses that have foundations and the ones that do not. And you know what? If you've watched any of those shows, they go through a town. They rip up houses with foundations. But you know what's left? The foundation. You can rebuild that house on that foundation. When it picks up a trailer, that puppy's gone. There ain't nothing left. Not even a foundation is left. So the ones with the foundation, they can rebuild. They've been stripped down. They don't have anything left, but they can rebuild. If you're a trailer park Christian, it's just a matter of time. And I didn't mean that to be a slam, but a trailer park is the last place that I want to be if a tornado is coming. Give me a house with a basement and a foundation and a bathtub and a mattress to put over me. Amen? All right. Let's see here. Verse 1 continued. I need to back up a little. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear you, mountains, to the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people, and he is lodging a charge against them. See, we serve a very loving and patient God. But there is a limit to his patience. And he says to Israel, you know what? I'm done. I've had enough. I've counted to 10, like a parent with their child. I'm going to count to 10. Why don't you make it 1? Skip the first 9, because you know Junior's not going to listen to you for the first 9, because he knows 10's coming. But God says, this is it. I have sent my messengers. I have told them that they need to give you warnings. And he does give ample warnings to his children in the Old Testament. Lord knows he gives them ample warnings. And finally he says, enough is enough. And he says, I have this charge against you. What is a charge? A charge is when you've committed a crime and someone caught you and they say, I charge you with this crime, which means you're going to go see the judge. And it's bad when the judge is the one that's bringing the charge. Yeah, if you ever do a crime against somebody, make sure it's not a judge. Because you're done. And Jesus and God says, I've got a charge. I have a charge against you people. That's not a good place to be. That is not a good place to be. And it's interesting that this happens in the Old Testament. And then we see in the book of Revelation, if you want to turn to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, God is also bringing a charge against his church. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 gold lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and you have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Does that not sound like an awesome church? The church in Ephesus who's doing all of these things? They work hard, they persevered, they test the apostles, they endure hardships, and they have not grown weary. But you have to read on. It says, yet I hold this against you. Uh-oh. You have forsaken the love you had at first. What is he talking about? He says, you have forsaken our relationship. The relationship that you and I have. You've forsaken it. You've done all these other things. But those other things have taken the place of the personal relationship with God. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. We have a picture of a church that on the outside looks like it is thriving. Does it not? It looks like it is on fire for God, doing what God has absolutely called them to do. Everything looks great. Everything looks fine. Incredible things going on. You're feeding the hungry. You're feeding the poor. You're taking care of the orphans and the widows, and you're doing this, and you got life groups, and you got this, and you got a food pantry that is just working great. And then all of a sudden, you look on the inside, and God says, you know what? I have this one thing against you. You don't love me. You don't love me. See, you used to love me, and then you got too busy doing all these other things, and now I don't even know where you're at. You're doing all these things in my name. It looks great on the outside. But he says, this has been severed, and now you're all working on this. And God says, no, because this, without this, is worthless. This without this is going up in the tornado. Everything that you think you're building is not for him. It says it's going to burn up. We may do incredible things for God, but if we lose this connection, it means nothing. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I grow weary in doing these things. And when I grow weary in doing these things, I need to reevaluate how this is going. Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. When we're doing things that he's called us to do, we may get tired. But then he strengthens us. He gives us the strength to do those things. But when we become so focused on these things that we lose focus with this, it's just a matter of time before it all comes crashing down. I truly believe that is one of the biggest reasons that pastors leave the pastoral staff. I believe that to my core. I always thought, how do you just up and leave your calling? When you start focusing on this to the point where this is damaged, it's just a matter of time before it's coming crumbling to the ground. And that volcano is going to come through. And then where is your foundation? How well did you establish that foundation? All right. I don't know if I want to continue. I don't think I do. I don't think you guys want me to continue, because we ain't getting out of here anytime soon. So I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. Actually, I'm going to give you one more verse. Yes, I am, because it ties in with this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. So we got the Old Testament, where God has said, I've got a charge against you people. And then you have jumped ahead to the last book of Revelation, where God says, I got a problem with you people. And then we have Jesus speaking here in chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I'm sorry, but that sounds like a happening church. does it not? Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, did we not drive out demons? And in your name, did we not perform many miracles? Wouldn't you like to be a part of that? Where you're seeing demons fleeing, you're seeing miracles happening. But did you notice the pronoun that they use? We drove out. We performed miracles. We did this. We did that. And you know what? When you stand before God, there is no we. It's I. And did you notice that these people are listing their accomplishments, their works? Well, I led a life group. Well, I'm a youth leader. Well, I served in kids' church. Well, I did this. Well, I mowed the lawn. Well, I did all these things. And we list all the things and the reasons why we're good enough to be accepted by God. And he says, what? No, I never knew you. I saw you mowing the lawn. I saw you raking leaves. I saw you fixing the plumbing. I saw you with the kids in kids' church. I saw you with the kids and teen kids. I saw you serving. I saw you moving all that nasty rummage. I saw you do this. I saw you do that. I saw, but, I never knew you. You didn't bother to build a foundation with me. And that's what matters. It's the foundation. Because all the other stuff is fluff if you don't have the foundation. And that's where I am right now as a pastor. We need to get back and rebuild the foundation of New Hope Christian Center. Because we have people that are off just doing their things and doing this and doing that, and they're good things. But there's some things that are showing up. It's like, no, that's not right. Well, I'm still doing this. Well, I'm still doing that. Yeah, but where are you with him? There's a negativity that is prevalent in this place. And that should not be. There's backbiting that is going on, and that should not be. There's backstabbing that is going on, and that should not be. And especially in leadership. And when we begin to do that, what does that do? That divides. That is very divisive. And when that is prevalent in a church, just as it was in Ephesus, and they were doing great things, that means this has begun to suffer. And this needs to be reestablished. And it starts with me. I became busy just being a pastor. I became busy. Well, I got to do this. Well, I got to do that. Well, you know, I'm not saying that I don't pray. But I have gotten to the point where I've kind of wandered away with my walk with the Lord. And when I start to see negativity in my own heart, and people begin to irritate me a little more than it's like, dude, what's going on? This is severed. This needs to be strengthened before we begin to do any more of this. It is refocus, reboot time. I don't know about you, but I hate computers. I hate them. Hate. You can hate things. Don't hate people. You can hate things. And the reason is because I have a job to do. And when this thing is keeping me from doing my job, I get irritated. And there are certain times when I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Oh. Wrong password. No, it's not. It's the same one I've used for the last 7 years. Type it in. Da-da-da-da-da. Wrong password. No, it's not. Duh. 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 Wrong password. Oh, it just irritates me. and you get to the point where your computer begins to freeze up. It won't do what you want to do. What do you have to do? Shut it down. Clean out all the garbage. Get rid of all the cookies. Clean out the history. Shut it down. And let it reboot. And usually, that takes care of it. There's too much crud in the processor to work properly. And sometimes we as Christians need to reboot. All right, it's time to clear out the crud. Time to clear out the cookies. Time to clear out the bad attitude. It's time to refocus and let God just go, okay, let's start here. That's the reboot. And that's where we're going. We're rebooting as New Hope Christian Center. The first 7 years, okay, we did what we did. This is the 8th year. Guess what? The soil's a little bit harder right now, which means it's going to take a little bit more work. It's going to take a little bit more focus, but it's going to take a lot more focus on Him. We're rebooting. We're rebooting. And you know what? Some people ain't going to like it. And you know what? I don't give a rip. Because I believe this is what God is doing at New Hope Christian Center in this time, in this day. And you know what? I have to do what He says. And my prayer is that each and every person would just say, okay, God, am I like the church in Ephesus? I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. But where am I with this? And if you find that this is starting to get a little severed, it's time to reboot. It's time to focus on Him. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And then you can love one another. If you're having a hard time loving one another, it's probably because you ain't even loving Him first. That's got to be the focus. And that's where we're going. We are refocusing, rebooting, getting rid of the crud, and starting over. We're pressing the restart. And sometimes at my office, I have to unplug it. And I've got a thing that's got a battery backup, and I'll take the battery out of it and let it sit for like 2 minutes and go get a cup of coffee. And then I'll come back and restart it. And usually it works. It's time to reboot. I'm going to reboot. Y'all, it's up to you. That's between you and God. But as for me, I'm going to do what He's called me to do. I'm going to focus on me because I can't change any of y'all. I can tell you what the Word says, but if I'm not living it myself, if you don't see the love of God through me first, what good is that? What good is that? That just makes me a big old fat hypocrite. And that's the one reason that most people say they don't want to go to a church. Nah, it's just filled with a bunch of hypocrites. Well, you know what it's filled with? A bunch of people who have built their house without a foundation. Unfortunately, there's too few Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of them that are saying, yeah, we go to this church. We have this. We have that. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. What does this look like? So reboot, restart, unplug, pull the battery if you have to, and let's go, all right, power this puppy up. And then we can work without the distractions and all the garbage that God never wanted us to deal with in the first place. Amen? Please stand. I don't know if you've watched any of those spy shows, movies, where they put a tail on someone and they got pictures of them doing this and that, and they got wiretaps and they follow them everywhere they go, and then they lay out all the information in front of the board or whatever, and it's like, oh yeah, he's definitely a spy for Russia, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, you know, what if God put a tail on us and had them take pictures of us when we're not looking, and had a wiretap on us on our texting and on our phones and saw what we were doing and coercing and looking at? And what if he had a camera on the freeway and that could follow you and how you were acted on the freeway and everything? And then at the end of like 2 months, they took all the information, all of the pictures, all of the video, all of the audio, everything that you had said for 2 months, everything that you had thought for 2 months, and laid it out before God. Would there be enough information there to incriminate you as a Christian? Yep, definitely a Christian. You can see it. You can see how they talk, what they do, what they don't do, how they act, what they don't say, what they do say. How they treat one another. Are they backbiting? Are they doing this? Are they got negative attitudes? Are they the gossipers, they slanderers, whatever? Would there be enough information there to convict you as being a follower of Jesus Christ? Wow. But you know what? We need to think about that. How do I treat my wife? How do I treat my spouse? How do I treat my kids? How do I treat my coworkers? Do they see the love of Jesus Christ through me? Would they see the love of Jesus Christ when I'm by myself? Would they see the love of Jesus Christ when I'm gossiping and when I'm slandering? Being rude. It's something that we all need to think about. Because I would hope that if they did that with me, that God would say, yeah, he's definitely one of my kids. He ain't perfect, but he's definitely one of my kids. Or would he say, I don't know this person. Depart from me. It's a sobering thought. It's a sobering thought. But that's kind of where we're going right now. That's part of the reboot. Some of us need to get rid of some stuff. Some of us need to add some stuff. And you know what? That's between you and God. All I'm going to do is say, this is what the scripture says. And then you rely on the Holy Spirit to help you get it done. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would be with us this day. Be with us as we walk out your words. Walk out what you've given, what you've called each and every one of us to do. Lord, to put off the old self and to put on the new creation. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. It corrects, it rebukes, and it trains us up in how we should be as your kids. Help us to walk in that. In your name we pray. Amen. Before you leave, I'm going to, first of all, invite you to come back next week for part two of this message. And I need Pastor Lee to come up here, if you would, and Pastor Henry. He's looking up. Uh-oh. No, we have a young lady who is going to be going to Brazil on a missions trip. And that lady is right here with a scared look on her face. And so, Brooke, would you just say just a little bit about what you're doing, and then we want to pray for her as she goes out into the missions field.
So I will be going with a program called U.S. Brazil Connect. It's my third time being a fellow for this program, and I will be working with high school students with their English, and so I won't be instructing them like a formal teacher. They call it a transformative learning experience because it's through a relationship. So I've been working with my 12 students through Google Hangouts and Facebook the last 8 weeks. So when I meet them, I will already know them, kind of. But yeah, so I get to spend time with them. It's not a Christian organization, but I'm allowed to express my beliefs. So there's been multiple times through messaging where God's provided a lot of opportunities where they've been just opening up to me about these things going on in their lives, and I've been able to tell them that I'm praying for them, and just give them my advice, like through God, and let the Spirit move in that way. So it's been a completely different experience. I feel like God's using me a lot more. Maybe it's because I'm more aware of it, and coming into it this year, I said, God, I only want to go if it's where you want me to be this summer. And it's so, yeah, it's pretty exciting. I'll be there for 3 weeks. I leave this coming Friday, the 29th at 5 a.m. And yes, I'll be there for 3 weeks.
All right. Henry, will you do the honors?
How's Aaron going to survive?
What's that?
How's Aaron going to survive?
Oh, I don't know. He's going
to
be a mess.
We need to pray for him.
Exactly. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for what you've placed in Brooke's heart, and we thank you for opening doors. And Lord, we just pray that your light will shine through her. We pray that she will travel safely, Lord, that you will protect her, that you will provide every need. And Lord, we just pray that this will be an opening, that your light will shine and hearts may be won through you because of the love of Jesus in her heart. And Lord, we just pray for Aaron this time, because I was asking Pastor Jim how he's going to survive. May you give him strength, Lord, and strengthen him during this time that he will be by himself. And we pray, Lord, that this will be the beginning of just what you want to do. Show them what you want to do in their lives, Lord. We thank you for their service to the youth and to the church, and we just pray great things for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great week.